Biofluorescence, the ability of certain organisms to absorb light and then re-emit it as a different color, has long been observed in jellyfish, coral, and a number of other creatures like butterflies. But new research has also found widespread biofluorescence in fish. A team of scientists from the American Museum of Natural History has identified more than 180 species of fish which glow in a wide range of colors and patterns. And joining us now are John Sparks, a curator in the American Museum of Natural History's Department of Ichthyology, and David Gruber, associate professor of biology at Baruch College and a research associate at the AMNH. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having us.
David,
thanks.
What's the difference between biofluorescence and bioluminescence?
So bioluminescence is the ability for animals to produce their own light. The thing that people most people think about is fireflies. Biofluorescence is different. It's the ability of organisms to absorb a color light and then resend that light back out as a different color.
Well, John, is the biofluorescence in these fish visible to the naked human eye?
Actually, it is. It would appear dim to our eyes if we were swimming underwater, but it is visible. Once there's the electromagnetic radiation, the blue light of the open ocean, it stimulates the fluorescence in the fish.
So we would see it as a kind of a glow?
A very faint glow. If you were to then put on some filter goggles that act as a to filter out the higher energy blue light, you would see it much more intensely.
And once you do that, are you going to see biofluorescent fish everywhere?
Not everywhere. They're more common in certain places. The reef community is certainly where it's most prevalent, but you do find it even in deeper water fish.
Well, David, it occurs in 180 species. That's not a lot, is it?
That is a lot, considering there have just been a couple of brief notes of this up until this point, and mainly it was just in red. We were originally studying corals, and John and I were we were at 100 feet, and we're photographing corals, which we know are fluorescent, for an exhibit at the Museum of Natural History. And we get back to the lab at night, and we look at our photographs, and we essentially got photobombed by a green fluorescent eel.
And we'd never seen green eels before?
No, at this point we had never seen one.
I want to have green eel and a ham.
And what I was going to add to what David, you were asking about how widespread it is. One thing, it's 180 species, but it's also well dispersed over the tree of life for fishes. So in terms of what we scanned, it's all kind of throughout the tree, as you see for bioluminescence.
Well, when fish absorb light and then re-emit it, why does it come out as a different color?
You generally get lesser energy back. You're giving exciting the electrons in these fluorescent proteins. And when they drop back down to their regular energy level, it gives off wavelengths of lights. You get off lower energy, longer wavelengths.
Now, why hadn't anyone observed this before?
I think in order to really stumble across this, you need to be swimming around at night with very scientific blue lights and yellow filters over your eyes. So that could be one of the reasons.
So this is kind of like looking at a poster with black light?
Yes, but what's really unique about in the ocean is that there's lots of biological things that fluoresce. There's things that fluoresce in the UV if you look at this, but the ocean is a blue environment, so it's like a one color environment, and these animals are able to absorb that blue and then give that back out as other colors, and then some of them also have the apparatus in their eyes that would enable them to see this. So for the first time, this is hinting at some sort of function of this phenomena.
And that's what I was going to ask you about next. What's the genetic advantage of this ability? Are they communicating with other fish?
We don't know for certain at this point because this was kind of the first study to look at it broadly. But it does. What we found does give us some indication that they're using it for communication. We find very different patterns in closely related species. Therefore, we think they're using it to communicate. Actually, the patterns, the fluorescent patterns, are actually more divergent than their patterns we'd see under white light.
Well, wouldn't glowing make them more vulnerable to predators?
Only if the predators can see them. And we don't know that much about predators of a lot of these fish, whether they have the filters in their eyes to perceive the biofluorescent emissions.
No, they glow in patterns, don't they?
They do. There's all different kinds of patterns. And again, this study is the first look. You know, it's we think of this as kind of the tip of the iceberg. And we saw lots of different patterns. We also saw, in some instances, this fluorescence goes all the way through the organisms. Sometimes it's just around the eyes. Sometimes it's in the eyes. It's on the body. So we're seeing lots of different patternation that you sometimes you wouldn't see under regular white light.
Is this also common in coral reefs?
It's extremely common.
Are the same colors?
You mean the corals themselves or the fish communities? The corals themselves, yeah, it's kind of the same colors you see generally. You know, you got a blue ambient environment, which is the energizing light, and you see lots of yellows, reds, oranges, and greens. Same kind of colors we see in fishes.
Do they have special compounds that give off this biofluorescence?
In corals, we understand that compound quite well. It's a very similar to a compound that was originally found in a jellyfish in the 1960s, and in 2008, the scientist that discovered this won the Nobel Prize in chemistry. This protein, there's only been one now that's been fully elucidated, and it is much smaller and different. And this just came out in late 2013. So again, this is like really brand new. Stuff that we're just starting to dig into.
Well, how closely are jellyfish and coral related to fish? It is interesting. I would think of them as being totally different, and yet they share this thing and something that, as far as I know, no reptiles or mammals have.
Yeah, that's correct. No reptiles and mammals have it. But what's interesting, they're very distantly related organisms. They split off these lineages a long, long time ago. And what's kind of critical here is we see relatively the same colors being emitted, but we don't know whether the proteins are the same. This could be very ancient proteins, or it could be something very different. That's kind of where we want to take the study next.
My guests are John Sparks, a curator at the American Museum of Natural History's Department of Ichthyology, David Gruber, associate professor of biology at Baruch College, and a research associate at the American Museum of Natural History's, also in the Department of Ichthyology?
In the invertebrate zoology.
And this is WNYC, wnyc.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Okay, now we know that there are fish that emit red and green patterns. Is this anything that we can use further? Is this something that we might apply to biomedical research, for example?
Well, we're on a recent expedition. We collected a whole slew of these, and we have them frozen now. So,
where did you find them?
The story of this starts about 2 years ago in the Cayman Islands, where we stumbled upon that green eel by accident. And then John and I went to the Bahamas, and in the Bahamas, this is where we started doing our first surveys. And in the process, we found a green fluorescent stingray, which was hinting that it's beyond just some of the bony fishes, and it was extending into the cartilaginous fish. So that kind of set us going to a more diverse place, and we went to the Solomon Islands. And from there, we did most of our work, the majority of our collection.
So it's not just the Caribbean. We can assume this is all over the world?
Yeah. Every place we've gone, we found communities of fish that do fluoresce, even off the coast of Southern California.
So first of all, I should tell our audience that we have some pictures on our show page of these fish, at our show page at wnyc.org. Let's get back to the whole thing of whether this is anything that can be applied other than as knowledge about something that we hadn't been aware of before.
Okay. Well, fluorescent proteins are so interesting to scientists because they're small molecules, they're small proteins, and you could get the DNA for them, the sequence. And since they're so small, you could put it in front of or of any kind of gene in the human genome, and you can now watch that moving throughout the cell. One of our collaborators, Vincent Pierbone at Yale, he's developed a way to hang these on neurons. So when the neurons fire, you'll see a flicker of fluorescent light. So he's looking at single neurons being able to detect them. The uses of
We won't have to use radiation as much in CAT scans and PET scans sometime in the future.
More, it's still at the looking in a laboratory mouse at the moment, and it's looking at it with the mouse anesthetized and looking at one neuron firing at a time. But that's again, this is all state of the art happening right now. So moving that forward is still many years off, but in general, it's helped our understanding of scent. It's helped with Alzheimer's disease, with cancer research. It's just been a really valuable tool. And this tool had been found in a jellyfish and corals. And the coral environment is this blue environment. So it seems like this perfect place to look for molecules that are absorbing blue light and fluorescing them back out at different colors. So beyond the fish, we're seeing it in other organisms too. So this is something that's even more widespread than we may know of now.
A spear fisherman called into our show and was wondering if the fluorescence contributed to camouflage, and would he have better luck if he had used one of your special lights?
Well, we think it actually may contribute to camouflage, but that in turn implies that, you know, the fish that it's hiding from can see fluorescence, so they tend to blend in. A lot of these fish we find, predatory scorpion fish, for example, are brilliantly fluorescent red, and we find them hiding on, you know, red corals, red sponges a lot of the times. Other fish we find blending in with very green corals, so they seem to be, it's a potential use.
I've heard that some of what humans might think are the ugliest fish seem to biofluoresce the most.
That's what we found very interesting. A lot of the very camouflage lineages that you wouldn't necessarily notice on a reef, the flat fishes, scorpion fishes, gobies, and blennies, these very cryptic fish tend to fluoresce the most, and it's where it's most varied.
Yeah, we don't find them ugly either.
No.
Well, all fish are beautiful in their own way, and the mothers love them. Do any of our popular food fish fluoresce?
Yeah, there's people eat, you know, different scorpion fishes, the flounders, eels are eaten a lot, the flatfishes and flounders.
Do all the eels biofluoresce?
Not all of them. A lot of morays don't, but I would say within every lineage you have fluorescent members and very brilliant ones.
And flounder?
Yeah, almost all the flatfishes we've looked at are brilliantly fluorescent. They're very interesting because they're different colors on the eyed side versus the non-eyed side when the eye migrates.
Cod, then, I guess, as well?
Cod, we haven't found any cod that fluoresce yet. None yet.
Yeah, they're different intensities, too. Some of them, like some of the small eels that we found, are just brilliantly green, you know. And some of them are quite dim, so it's there's a lot of variation among how fluorescent these fish are.
A listener, John A., wants to know if these fish only appear in tropical waters, or can they be found off of places like Long Island, New Jersey?
No, they can be found actually anywhere, and we found fluorescent fish in temperate waters as well, like I said, off the east coast of the U.S., off of California. So it basically depends on the lineage. It's more of an evolutionary thing.
And what about salt water as opposed to freshwater?
That's a good question. We predominantly find it in the marine environment, and we think that's because it's a place where this could evolve. You've got an ambient blue environment, not too many freshwater bodies are very clear and blue, and it's a great place for a phenomenon like this to evolve and diversify over time.
Well, I wonder whether the next time I have some flounder, I can do something to bring out the color before we cook it.
Shoot some bright blue lights at it and have a filter glasses on, and you'll see it.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. Well, before we end it, where do you see research leading you to?
Well, right now we're trying to, we want to look more at function. We also got very interested in the few shark species that we found that were brilliantly fluorescent.
You better get them before they become totally extinct.
Yeah, that's always one of our motives. And we want to start looking at the proteins, looking at the molecules, and attacking this from all different perspectives. This is, this is a first pass. We're excited that we found it in so many species, and now we're excited to move forward.
David Gruber is associate professor of biology at Baruch College, a research associate at the American Museum of Natural History, and John Sparks is a curator in the American Museum of Natural History's Department of Ichthyology. Thank you both for being on our show today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.